Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2.
Vince McMahon selling what could loosely be called a Stone Cold Stunner. Steve Austin tearing up both nights of WrestleMania. Logan Paul shocking the masses. Triple H leaving his boots in the ring. And so much more that TalkSport saw in WrestleMania Dallas, Texas. We're going to bring you maybe the biggest news of the weekend. Cody Rhodes is back in WWE. We have those comments right here on Talk Wrestling. Welcome to Talk Wrestling, guys, live from Dallas, Texas. It is I, Alex McCarthy, once again bringing you all of the graps as it happens on the ground here at WrestleMania 38. But there's no Will Gavin. He didn't get the trip. No plane tickets for that guy. I've got a crew of my own this time, joined by former guest Alistair McGeorge from the Metro. How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right. I'm a bit Husky Harris today, but we're okay.
Oh, my God. You wish you were Husky Harris. Matt Connell from Alt Sport is in the house as well. Video extraordinaire. How are you, my man?
Alex, I am full on sports and entertainment.
You're chock full. Is that a snort? Wow. Joe Biamonte, how are you, brother? You're everywhere these days, aren't you, man?
I'm all over the place, working the territories. Yeah, I'm great. I'm stupendous.
You are stupendous. And George Clayton, the young whippersnapper of this UK gang from Joe. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. The young one. The young one. I'm putting you all to shame, but I've enjoyed it, man.
You're like the Dallas. Austin Theory of the group.
That is it. Dallas in the sun. What more do you want, mate?
Yeah, we say that as it's actually overcast today on this Monday, but he's not wrong. It's been a great weekend, great weather, but great wrestling. We're going to get into it today, guys. We've got Cody Rhodes in the next section. His first comments after returning to WWE after departing in 2015. You might have seen what he was up to in his time away. He helped start a little company called AEW, something very special that, in my opinion, guys, I must say, it really contributed to the magnitude of his return, because make no mistake about it, for anyone who had any doubts that Cody Rhodes was returning as a big star, the reception he got in that arena was unbelievable, wasn't it?
They got the presentation absolutely perfect. The reaction from the crowd, like you say, if there was any doubt, that was kind of blown away almost immediately. The attire, the music, it all came together as a perfect storm for him.
It really was. But we're going to get into Cody in the next section. Let's talk a little bit about what we've experienced this weekend, guys. Because, not in our friendship circle, having a jolly time in the streets of Dallas, Texas. But, I mean, we got busy. We actually went to work on Friday. A lot of different interviews that you guys will hear in different podcast form with Talk Wrestling, of course, that will be released on the Fight Night feed. But today you're on TalkSport 2 with Cody Rhodes. But what's upcoming? Guys, Becky Lynch was in the house on Friday. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I want to start with those three because they stole the weekend for me in terms of bell-to-bell action. Becky Lynch, we will get into that with Bianca Belair. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, two Canadians that have been beloved for a long time in very fun matchups. Matt, man, I'll start with you. What do you make of them proving their value, man? And just it was great to talk to them on Friday.
I just felt so happy and proud for them as what they do for this business, because they are two core wrestling fans. I think for anyone that's followed their journey, they know where they've come from, so where they are now in sport entertainment. And what I really admired from seeing them, even from the media junkets, they were speaking to all the media. They were there to promote those matches, and they did it spectacular even stupendous
oh my
level of promotion for their respective matches. And they were happy to go to every single media outlet that we all covered and got entertaining interviews. And going into those matches, you could see just how much it all meant to them.
Yeah, I mean, just to set the scene, we went to the Talents Hotel for this interview, and I believe there was 10 or 11 different talents there. 85 media outlets. 85 from all around the world. So you only got like a few minutes with the talent, but they were so motivated to, you know, and excited. You know, it was palpable, I felt like, in the room. You know, I was wearing a Sami Zayn shirt that was so warmly received by Sami, not so much by Kevin. But still, I mean, Joe, I know you're going to have some content coming out over the coming weeks, man. Who did you enjoy talking to the most?
I think Owens was the one I really enjoyed talking to the most, because you could see how excited he was to be wrestling Steve Austin. And when I was like sort of waiting to get my time with him, I was obviously watching yourself interview him and Alice and everyone else, and he just kept talking about how much he'd just been a fan of Austin his entire career, well, his entire life rather, from growing up as like a kid watching like the Attitude Era. And to see him like, just buzzing that much, you knew you were going to get something special from that match. Well, even though at the time we didn't know it was a match. Mm. And I remember as I was like saying, like, you know, thanks to him and everything at the end of our interview together, I said, oh, I'm really excited to see what happens this weekend. He was like, me too, I can't wait. Like, he was like talking to a big kid, like someone who was just like realising his dream come true, and like, I know that just makes you feel so happy as a fan as well, like you can relate to that. And the story he shared about the you know, meeting Austin in the airport in 2005, and so he went up to him and asked him for some advice, and Austin said, just keep running your mouth, never stop running your mouth. And Owen said, that's what I took that advice on board. He said, when it looked like I wasn't going to be on WrestleMania, that's what I did. And I think, you know, to go full circle, like in what, 12 years from 2005 working as an indie and then to now, yeah, I think that's amazing for him.
And I think what was so special about that moment, just to flash forward into the match itself, Kevin Owens got the first stunner in on Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. And that was something I spoke to him in the junket, and I asked him, like, who's going to hit the first stunner? And he was like, what are we trying to do here? And of course, Owen made it very clear, he is the one who's going to hit it. And he did. And I think that's so important for this weekend, where it had the perfect crossover from some of our favourites of the Attitude Era working with the current talent on his main roster. And as you say, it was the right kind of rub. And for Kevin Owens to hit that first stunner on Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's pretty significant.
Mm. I mean, it wasn't the best stunner of the weekend, but more on that later. I mean, you know, it's funny with WWE events too. I went to Survivor Series last November in New York. Really excited to go out there with, you know, the restrictions kind of just being lifted in America that month. And I'm not going to lie, like, the show just wasn't that great. Like, Charlotte and Becky was a great match, but the atmosphere, that electricity, I was a bit like, you know, I was a bit disappointed. I can't lie. Like, the content was good, but the fan in me wanted more from Survivor Series. Coming to WrestleMania this time, and kind of looking at the card, I was, like, hopeful, but not entirely sure what to expect either. And I've come away feeling like it's one of the all-time manias. And I don't know if that's recency bias, you know, because you've just seen it and I was there in the crowd enjoying it. But it's one of those things where even in and around the arena, like, you know, you guys have been with me when we've seen some of the UK wrestlers, right? Like, just on the street or around the hotel. The mood just seemed different. George, I'm curious for you, brother, being the young blood here. For me, and I think I was saying this to you, Matt, as well, like, I'm an 88 baby, right? I'm like in my 30s. So a lot of what happened this weekend spoke to me, right? Like, you know, you're Vince McMahon in the ring. I don't care what people are saying on Twitter. I don't care if they don't like it. I loved it, right? So for someone like yourself, like, did that resonate as strongly with you, seeing a Vince McMahon, seeing the Steve Austin, Undertakers?
It did, because when I was growing up on WWE, my brother was a lot older than me, and he was always on the Attitude Era. He was always Stone Cold, so I was more living it through him. It was brilliant to grow up with him and listen to the stories about that. And obviously, this is my first WrestleMania as well. And going back to what you were saying about just the actual spectatorship of it all, it was, yeah, incredible. Like, America does it differently. Mm. If there's anyone out there, and there will be, that like want to go to WrestleMania, just do it, because it's just sick. Like, the tailgating, the food. Obviously, we've enjoyed the food, and this experience of and this experience with you guys has probably made it better as well. Just the whole like entertainment aspect of it, and it's just been, yeah, it's been sensational. I've been blown away by how good it actually was. Like, they got the card nailed on the two nights. I didn't think the second night could live up to the first night, and it did. The atmosphere is incredible. The Americans are so good for it as well. Like, the amount of fancy dress I saw, if I can call it fancy dress, probably shouldn't call it fancy dress, but the amount of people that were full on dressed up, and it's like, you wouldn't get that in England. And yeah, it was fantastic. But the nostalgia of it all, seeing the Undertaker's walk out, obviously the Undertaker was my guy when I was growing up, and yeah, that was special just to watch his walk out. They did it twice, got a bit boring by the second time, but
was that not enough for you, young man?
Well, no, it'd be good if he actually was coming out to fight, but he did the exact same thing as the first night. So I was like, oh, I've seen this already, but it is the Undertaker, and it was brilliant.
Matt was next to me saying, God, I want someone to attack him. Yeah, his 30-year career wasn't enough, right? Like, he couldn't come out and get his admiration. He had to be attacked by Hill, Matt.
I mean, much respect, but since there was so much crossover, you know, we had like Damian Priest and Edge doing effing together, Kevin Owens and Stone Cold, Vince and Austin Theory. I was thinking, go on. If he's coming out on night two as well, and how lucky have we been to get to hear The Undertaker's theme three times across WrestleMania weekend from the Hall of Fame, well, twice in the Hall of Fame ceremony. And then we had WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. Now, if you grew up on sports entertainment and WWE on the Attitude Era, wasn't this perfect?
It was the best. What was that tweet about Undertaker's suit,
Joe? Someone was saying it must have stunk by Night 3. And you think, I mean, the guy was like, I think he must have been sweating through that during the Hall of Fame speech, because, you know, he was out of character for the first time in a long time doing that in front of like a packed arena, and that ovation he got at the Hall of Fame, it was like a 10-minute standing ovation.
That was unbelievable to be a part of, by the way. Like, I should note that we were all at that as well, because we went to SmackDown in the Hall of Fame on Friday, and we did Stand and Deliver, by the way, before day one of WrestleMania. I mean, man, that ovation was something to behold. We will get back into it after the break. We've got Cody Rhodes coming up, guys. We haven't even really got into that yet, but what a moment that was, his return to WWE. We're going to have his very first comments to the media after his return to WWE here on Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2. Welcome back, guys. Alex McCarthy here with my, what I'm going to call, what's the collective noun for us? UK Wrestling Media Gang. It's a working title.
The new and new world order.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, with a wolf pack.
Let's talk Cody Rhodes. It's coming up on the show. That's the interview we've got for you today. There will be more content coming from Talk Sport over the coming weeks in podcast form. Everything from WrestleMania weekend. Everything. We couldn't fit it into this show if we wanted to, believe me. There was so much done on Friday. But now, let's stop the waiting and get into comments from Cody Rhodes himself, speaking to the media the day after his return.
We did speak, and I think Triple H did it in such a Triple H fashion. Everybody had come on the bus to say hello, to talk a little bit about what may happen. The very last one was Triple H, and my assistant, my former assistant from AEW, was, you know, he came as a friend, and he was on it, and he knows the world's worst kept secret that Hunter is my favorite wrestler, and that was a really, this has been a wild, tear filled weekend, but it was just a good moment, also just to see him healthy. And I know, you know, retirement came as it did, but to do some justice, to not only see my favorite wrestler and somebody that, gosh, I wanted to model so many things after and such, but Seth being his protege, and to be able to give some of those fan service perhaps moments for the fans, but also for Triple H, who is all wrestlers. We're all marks and fans, and even at the highest level, which he's been. But that was really touching. Especially, you got to put it in perspective, as many of you know, I talked a lot of smack. I destroyed his throne. I mean, I was very loud and vociferous and just very intense on getting angry. I was just angry. And that was a moment of no anger. And because why would I be angry? You guys are paying me this absurd amount of money, and I get to be me. I get to be me, and especially coming from where I had left here, there's nothing to be angry about. It's more a matter of one, you know, chapter ended, and a beautiful chapter at AEW, which I'm so proud of, and then to start this new chapter here. I just kept saying out there, I kept saying finish. And I wasn't talking about the match. I just kept saying finish as far as, like, what's next? You know, I what I started here, I got to finish that, if that makes any sense. But yeah, we spoke right before. I'm very, very excited to see him.
Welcome back to Talk Wrestling here on TalkSport 2. Alex McCarthy once again. Man, doesn't Cody sound happy? Like, one thing I took away from that, and everyone in this room was at that press conference, I guess is what we're going to call it. He just seemed beaming to be back in WWE. When the news first broke, I remember thinking, like, wow, like, that's so significant. Like, I never would have seen it. I thought Cody was kind of the anti-WWE almost, right? Like, you know, he'd broken the throne. He'd gone away. He'd proven he could be something else. He created an alternative, you know, not on his own, but he was a central part to that. And now here he is back in the game. You think, I know there's a lot of people out there saying it's a bit hypocritical, right? And they're saying, oh, you know, why did he go back and all of this stuff? But I think if you just listen to what he was telling the media yesterday, and you can get the full thing on YouTube, I think it's very evident that there's unfinished business for Cody and those family ties where he started. It's like a ghost that he needs to exercise, right?
It certainly feels it. And I think that's one of the most significant things that Cody Rhodes had said across his media post his match at WrestleMania. There hasn't been a Rhodes in WWE that's held that world title. So the motivation is very high. The stars have aligned. There's a certain Roman Reigns, part of another family, a lineage with pretty significant history.
Royalty.
So no matter what happens going forward, that is always there. No matter what happens going forward, Randy Orton is always there. There are lots of options, and don't think for a second that Seth Rollins still has something to say about it, because what a perfect dance partner he was for this kind of match. Now, I think it's fair to say, collectively as a fan base, the execution of Cody Rhodes' return was perfect, from the presentation to the emotion you could see in his face as he would look out to the 70,000 that night. And in that match, built perfectly, wonderful move tributes to his family, the bionic elbow when the roof could have blown off like it was the O2 arena.
Everybody got the reference, which is crucial,
which was beautiful. And the finish and the crossroads, and, you know, just as much as it was fantastic by Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, it was very much about him as well, because in this business, without the right dance partner, it can all go very wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of things that I took away from the interview, and this is, quote, what he said, as you just heard, he's getting paid an absurd amount of money, right? He's been given these assurances by Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, even Nick Khan. He's talking about, you know, showering him in praise almost, which we haven't heard anyone do, really. You know, he's become the devil of wrestling in many eyes. But you look at all of that. Joe, let's talk about the actual presentation and the reception in the arena, because the first part of what I just said there is totally crucial, pivotal, in fact, to how he will be successful this time around, or can be.
Yeah, I think what was important was they just kept it the same as his AEW presentation. I think if they'd have tried to, you know, use one of his old WWE themes or something similar to that, it would have still got a big reaction, no doubt, but people saw that they were taking him a lot more seriously this time around as like a main event talent by giving him that theme music, giving him the presentation, coming up through the stage, everything about it. And Graves had it. Corey Graves had a great call when he said the prodigal son has returned. I think, like, positioning him as that sort of, you went away and you set up this other company and tried to take us down. And Rollins was a great dance partner in that respect as well, because he's been a very strong company man for WWE.
Yeah, boy, has he.
Yeah. And, like, he's had been pretty much the guy who's been, like, the most anti-AEW in a lot of the things that he's been saying, and which gives this feud a lot more legs, I think, going forward for like the next couple of months, especially if that's the way they want to go with it. But yeah, the presentation, they got absolutely correct, and that was such a relief. And I think Cody, when we spoke to him at the press conference yesterday morning, he seemed relieved by it all. He seemed relieved that it had gone really well. He seemed very happy. And, you know, he came across as such a bigger star than he left. And he's grown up a lot in that time as well. I think he'd probably be the first to admit, you know, he said when he was saying he felt very bitter when he left and he felt very unhappy. He also said that out of his family, he's the most angry one. which I thought was quite telling. And I think maybe on being the youngest, he's always felt like he's had a point to prove. And he said, there's going to be no more absolutes from now on. I'm not going to say this is never going to happen. Or yeah, he just came across 10 times bigger than when he left. And again, he mentioned about the split, you know, reaction from the crowd. He said that wasn't there, but he welcomes that. He'll lean into it. I mean, we've seen it with that Reigns and Cena in the past, that sort of reaction from the crowd. And if that ends up being the way that Cody goes, I think he'll still be a main event. They're not going to sort of switch on him because of that. So maybe I'm being a little bit too optimistic there. I don't know. But I think from last night, we've got every reason to be.
Yeah, I think we have a reason to be optimistic. I've always said, I felt towards the end of 2019 with the Jericho feud and like the cage match with Wardlow, kind of like early 2020, he was the hottest babyface in wrestling, like, period. There was nobody across any company that was on fire like Cody Rhodes was. Then, of course, he made a series of bad decisions of, you know, taking himself out of the title picture, and, you know, he's kind of accepted some of that himself and some of the promos he did. And by the way, when he hits a promo, great, he is great, but he's acknowledged himself that some of them have missed the mark. He can be a top, top star for WWE, but I guess what happens next is crucial. We're recording this on Monday, ahead of Monday Night Raw. We'll be in the air tomorrow when this will actually go out on the radio. George, what did you make of the moment in the stadium, right? Like, I remember us talking about it before the actual event. We were like, will it be Cody? Do you think it's going to be Cody? Might be Shane. Might be, here comes the money. But, you know, it was one of them where we've likened it to a few situations. I did anyway, CM Punk, right? Where you knew it was Punk. That one was more obvious because it was Chicago. But you knew it was Punk, but there wasn't that actual tangible confirmation, so you couldn't be dead certain until the music hits. I felt like this was similar, and that actually helped the moment, that people were hoping it was Cody, and then when they got what they wanted, like, if it'd been anyone else, it probably would have been a disaster, really. Do you think that they got the build and the moment spot on?
No, 100%, because if everyone knew that he was coming, you wouldn't get that pop in the stadium, and it went off. It really did run. It was stone cold levels in that stadium. It was sick. And then, actually, someone owes me and Joe £1 million, because he said, well, $1 million. He was like, I'm telling you guys, The Undertaker's coming out. He's fighting Seth Rollins. He owes me, I bet you $1 million. Me and Joe started laughing. So wherever he is, he owes us $1 million. But then, obviously, when Cody came out, the atmosphere, the build-up, they just got it absolutely spot-on. He did the Stardust reference. It was just amazing. And, yeah, I've actually never seen an atmosphere like it at any sporting event. And, you know, I've been to a few, and that was just insane. Like, the crowd went for it. I just don't think they could have built it up any better to bring him on stage, the way he rose up, the fireworks going off, and then just his entrance. It was sensational. I don't know what more they could do with that.
Yeah, WWE don't always get things right in my kind of recent experience, but man, I honestly can't think of many ways this could have gone better for them. Let's roll in to the next section, where we're actually going to dive into night one and night two of WrestleMania, give our ass breakdowns, because let me tell you, there is a lot to discuss. So you are listening to Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm on my own against the wall. The pressure's building, but no, I will never. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your WrestleMania weekend and thus Talk Wrestling here on TalkSport 2. I'm Alex McCarthy, and we are going to start talking about WrestleMania Night 1. Which, I mean, listen, both nights were great, and it's hard to stack them against each other, but I might argue this was the stronger one, just because how it finished. Now, let's get into that straight away. Steve Austin, that is a monster pop that I will never forget being a part of. The anticipation was wonderfully built by Kevin Owens, who, let's not forget, the same as Seth Rollins, built their programs on their own. All Austin did was one, video promo in Texas that was like 2 minutes long. Week on week, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins out there doing God's work. For the actual moment, though, we didn't really know if we were going to get the match, right? And then when we did, I think it's fair to say, Joe, we got a hell of a lot more than we expected.
Oh, my. Honestly, when the bell rung, like the atmosphere was going off, but like, I was thinking, like, how is this going to work? Like, you know, Austin he's done a few bits in the 19 years since he had that match with The Rock. You know, he's had some physical interactions with people, but nothing like obviously what we saw with Owens. And when they got into the crowd, it was like an old school Attitude Era main event, just like in the middle of the people. And when they did the suplex, like, we all looked at each other on our row where we were, and we were just like, Steve! Yeah, like, get up! And it was just like, oh. And when he got up and then they took another bump and they went up the ramp and on the stage and everything else, it was just everything I grew up on. Mm. And Owens played his part phenomenally well. And it was as if when that first suplex hit, Austin himself got this like just boost of adrenaline, like, right, I've taken that bump. I can do this. I can take another couple. He got a lot more confident. You could just tell that the momentum just flowed from that moment onwards. And I mean, the crowd were right behind it. They were never not going to be behind it. But the level of the match that we got was far beyond what I was expecting.
Yeah, it was magic. That's literally the only word I could associate it is magic. And it was a lot of people had some raised eyebrows, right, about Steve Austin and Kevin Owens, a talk show or whatever, main eventing WrestleMania. But how foolish were all of we, because, you know, they say, oh, you know, the crowd are tired, right? There was a lot in this night one where the crowd were hot for. We've got into Cody Rhodes and discussed that, all the great things they did. Alistair, Bianca and Becky Lynch. Now, that is a contender for match of the weekend, bell to bell. Bianca's, her WrestleMania legacy is already incredible, by the way. You look at what she did with Sasha, now with Becky. Matt, it couldn't have been any better, could it? The payoff to the story. Bianca comes out looking like every bit of a star as anyone in the company. Like Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, anyone.
Yeah, it was, I'd keep saying perfect. It was perfectly executed, even sort of the tease at the beginning with you thinking maybe it was going to be a quick finish, the near falls. It was just, these 2 days have felt like fan service in the best possible way with the stories that have been told, and I think this was the perfect example of it. Bianca was the right one to win. It was everything aligned perfectly for her. She looks like a megastar. I think WWE need to make the most of the next couple of years with her because she is destined for, well,
she
the whole
screams,
world's at her feet.
She screams star. Like, when Bianca Belair's presentation, her work, everything, man. I think she's absolutely perfect. But speaking of something that went perfectly, Logan Paul. Yeah, that's right, guys, listening to this show. Logan Paul was a show stealer, man. Like, everyone came away from that show surprised about just how excellent it was. It's not just what he did in the ring, right? It's like the whole Eddie aspect to it and all the stuff that played out afterwards that I'll let you guys get into. George, man, do you want to kick things off with your Logan Paul thoughts?
Mate, that was sick. It was, that actually was, like, it was just insane. Like, Logan Paul coming in, and I have got a soft spot for Logan Paul and Jake Paul, but more so Logan Paul. Obviously, I've growing up watching KSI on YouTube, watching Logan Paul, and seeing the journey that Logan's been on to mature and get to this point. Like, he's gone from YouTube to fighting Floyd Mayweather, which is incredible. And then he's grown up watching WrestleMania and wrestling, and now he's just won on WrestleMania, and the guy started doing videos
against
in his room.
Rey Mysterio, by the way. Let's not wash that under the rug.
yeah, against Rey Mysterio with The Miz, like, I'm just proud of him. I actually am really proud of him. Like, I'm sure he's proud of me as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, his journey, coming out with a Pokemon card around his neck, £3.8 million around his neck.
Yikes.
As he was coming out, I think it was the highest ever auctioned Pokemon card. Like, what a move that is. Yeah, what a move that is. And he executed every move that he needed to. He sold it so well. And he is naturally gifted at this type of stuff. He's an entertainer first and foremost, but the guy's an athlete as well. And what I mean, it sells him up. He's going to be back, isn't he? The only thing I would have wanted to see was The Miz then take out Jake Paul. I think they missed an opportunity there, because the numbers would have been incredible. But then, who knows? Then Conor McGregor starts chirping, which we probably will get to. But it's all going off in that time. But Logan Paul, baby. Well, yeah, let's go.
I mean, to be fair, I thought Jake's little tidbits on the pre-show were excellent as well. And like the interest around the Paul brothers is undeniable at this point. I said on my interview with Logan the other week in the build-up to WrestleMania, I really don't think you can help but respect them. I understand if they're not your cup of tea, don't get me wrong. Like, are their fights the greatest technical things you'll ever see? No, not really. But still, they've literally built their own platforms and audiences to the point where he got to box Mayweather and then fight Mysterio at WrestleMania. Like, that is literally insane. Talk about making your own dreams come true. I think, you know, it's outrageously impressive. What the Paul brothers will be in WWE again at some point. I don't doubt that. And more to your point on Conor McGregor, I think anybody, like a celebrity on the outside looking in, if you were watching that this weekend, you'd want to be a part of it, wouldn't you, Matt? Like, you'd be looking at that thinking, oh my God, payday. The rabid fans, like 75,000 plus both nights. Who would not want to be a part of that?
Well, you just got to look at MMA Twitter and see the likes of Daniel Cormier, Chris Cyborg going mad for WrestleMania, to see their former colleagues doing this thing. And of course, you know, like, even in the build-up to this event, around the hotels, you know, we had certain MMA athletes, Valerie LaRuda from ATT, here for tryouts as well. Mm. Like, it was just so impressive how we've got to this point now where WWE is really, really nailing the use of celebrities. And it was at a point where, you know, you'd have the various guest spots on Monday Night Raw and you'd think, oh, this isn't going to go well. This doesn't help build a brand. But when we've had the likes and the luxuries of the Bad Bunnies last year to having the Logan Pauls this year, the Jackass crew on night two,
Stephen Amell maybe set the table a little bit.
Stephen Amell, you know, like, much respect. You know, there's been many highs and lows. But I think, like you said, the Paul brothers, no matter what they get stuck into, they just do it so well. Mm. And when they do it so well, it only benefits. Like, we can laugh and we can say the quality of the boxing matches that the Jake Pauls have, not so good. But they respect the industries they walk into.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw that the way that Logan Paul was training with The Miz and Wesley and Nash Carter of MSK. Don't tell me that guy isn't up for trying to be a WWE superstar. Because let's say he's got the ring gear. And we were all saying, as we were from where we were sat, look at him. He's a specimen. He's an athlete.
He's in great nick. Yeah. He's in great nick.
I think as well, if you looked at that, the celebrity matches that we've had over the last few years, if you were oblivious going into that match this weekend, the Logan Paul match, and no one told you who he was or anything beforehand, you'd have just assumed he was a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
Like with Johnny Knoxville, obviously, and like Bad Bunny last year, you could have sort of guessed that they weren't, just because maybe of their build and the whatever. But Logan Paul just looked legit. Like, he looked like the crispness of his moves was incredible. His selling was great, and he's a natural heel as well. When Miz dropped him at the end of that match, the place exploded. And Miz will get big reactions anyway because he's excellent at what he does.
Yeah.
But that was just as much because people despise Logan Paul, just for, like, you know, just his character that he portrays and everything. Like, they love to hate him, and wrestling doesn't have enough of that. You know, well, WWE have missed the mark on that quite often in recent years, and in Logan Paul, he could have like a top heel to come in every now and again.
I feel like, I think Logan turned 27 last Friday, right? He just had his birthday, and he was saying in the interview that we did do with TalkSport that he's well open to working with WWE in the future. Like, you know, doing something behind the scenes he'd be interested in as well, which, to be fair, could be a great injection for the company. I know there'll be some of you listening to this thinking, this is a WWE love-in, but, you know, it's fine to call them out when things haven't been going well, and I haven't been enjoying week-to-week TV greatly in 2022, to be honest. I do think Raw, you know, the bar was low, but it's been better on the road to WrestleMania, but man, this weekend I think is well worth celebrating how good things have been. What we do need to tie up on night one, the Usos kicked things off with Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. And the main headline from here, man, is really sad that Rick Boogs unfortunately comes away with a torn quad, a la Triple H. I believe dislocated patella as well. That's just a nasty injury to a bloke who was getting great reactions from the crowd. He really was, and he was sort of starting to come into his own in his tag team with Shinsuke, so that's really sad to see. But the Usos, we the ones, baby, they stay on top, probably where they belong. The images with Roman on night two, I guess, and all the gold was worth it just for that, to be honest. And Drew and Happy Corbin, I'll tell you this, my expectations were probably rock bottom for this, not with who's involved, but just, you know, the story, not particularly interesting. I mean, I know Drew would have greenlit it, but the mum comment on SmackDown wasn't great. I don't know, I just wasn't that excited. I thought Drew could have been used better. And also to tie up night one, last but certainly not least, Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, Joe. What do you think about this, man? Because again, a lot of people had a problem with the build, but the action itself was what we would expect from these two performers.
Yeah, and they've been in the ring together a couple of times before. They had that great match at Survivor Series a few years ago.
Yeah.
Which finished when, you know, Charlotte took the kendo stick to Ronda. So I think we knew we were going to get something good. They were going to deliver in ring. It was just, like you say, the build was a bit off this time. And I think they tried to replicate some stuff that they'd done previously with that, the parking lot brawl and things like that. I think it live it suffered a little bit, not because of anything in the ring, but there was that the fight in the crowd, which I think detracted people's attention.
Yeah.
And it was sort of difficult for the crowd to get back into it for a few minutes. But I think the finishing stretch of the match was really well done. Like, there were a lot of counters and grappling and so on, the submission holds going back and forth. Everything was executed really well. It's just I don't think anyone had strong enough opinions either way on each performer, where they really, you know, the same way like Becky and Bianca, for instance, the crowd were there all the time for that, going into it. Everyone wanted to see that match. This was like, well, I'm not really sure who the face is here, because it's supposed to be Ronda, but the reactions haven't really been there for her in the same way they were when she initially came into the company. You know, she played the heel on the way out last time. This time round, no one's been as passionate about her, but I think she got decent reactions in the end on Saturday. But yeah, a really good match, but not one that I think people will be going
revere for years. Yeah. I hear you. It's not like an all-time classic. You know, Ric Flair called it the greatest women's match ever. It wasn't the greatest on the night. But, you know, anyway, after the break, we're going to have to talk about night two of WrestleMania, where, again, high expectations or a high bar to match. But, man, I think in their own different way, they did it. So remember, Talk Wrestling, you can get the full interviews from this weekend on the Talk Sport feed with Fight Night. That will be dropping in the next couple of weeks. But after the break, the gang are going to talk night two of WrestleMania on Talk Wrestling. Welcome back to the final segment of Talk Wrestling here on the WrestleMania 38 review. We have been talking all things WrestleMania weekend, and we've had Cody Rhodes' first comments. If you have missed them, do not fear. You can get this show on catch up on the TalkSport app, and of course, the Talk Wrestling podcast, which is in the Fight Night feed. Yes, I keep reminding you, go ahead, subscribe, and check it out. But alas, on this final segment, we've got much to talk about. You know where I'm starting? It was a bad stunner, man. It was not good, but it was so not good that it was good.
Like, I feel proud to have been in the presence of that Stone Cold Stunner. If he didn't nail like an inch perfect stunner, it would have still been good to see, but we can relive this over and over and over again for like the rest of time. And I just think Austin's reaction to it was perfect. He just leant right into the fact that he knew that was terrible, and he just knew it was hilarious. And on top of that, like, yeah, we've got this memory now that we can just like revere as being like, this is like history in terms of just like, we remember like the Trump stunner and like the Linda McMahon stunner, and people talked about them for ages. We've got something that has somehow topped them, and for something that was so bad to be like one of the best things we saw this weekend, I think that sort of just typifies just how everything just was so spot on.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple of tweets. I mean, this is always a bad way to start a conversation, but I've seen a couple of tweets that, you know, Vince booking himself to win at WrestleMania, or why did he have to beat Pat? I mean, Pat's a commentator anyway. Pat had just had a real WrestleMania, you know, not just moment, but a fantastic debut for him there. You know, his star had already been made. And then having this moment with Vince and Austin, for him and Austin Theory, by the way, moment with Steve Austin, I should clarify for anyone listening confused, having that moment for Austin Theory and Pat McAfee with these two like absolute legends of the game. George, man, what was it like for you to watch that unfold? I personally felt like the moment was perfect, but what about you?
I loved it, mate. Absolutely loved it. The whole thing, like, Pat sold it so well. He was insane, wasn't he, when he did the flip off the rope and jumped straight.
It's worth noting, sorry, that you were in the press box. I don't want to interrupt, but you would have got the commentary that came through as well, because Michael Cole was on good form, right?
Yeah, he was unbelievable. You could tell that he sold it so well in the fact that you could tell he was just in there for his friend as well, and it was good. Like in the press box for it, enjoying the commentary, and then yeah, Pat sold it so well, didn't he? And Austin was really good as well. And the fact that he's only 24 and his biceps are bigger than my future. Mm. So then the match was really good. I don't know. I think Joe felt a little bit the same. We were talking about it last night about when Vince came out, and I didn't really want him to fight Pat. I didn't really get that whole bit. But then when Stone Cold came out, the stunner was absolutely insane. Pat sold his stunner so well when the beer sprayed out, and everything about it was incredible. I loved it. And Stone Cold looked, on the second night for me, he was having so much fun, wasn't he, at the end?
Yeah, he
had a smile on his face. He just kept throwing, I think it was like 59 beers over the two nights that got thrown up to him. I think that was the official stat from Ariel anyway. but yeah, he was having so much fun, and it was just so nice to see, and it was brilliant.
Let's move along. Matty, I'm going to come to you first here. Let's talk Johnny Knoxville. Let's talk Jackass. Let's talk Sami Zayn's wonderful performance. Because, again, there will be wrestling purists that I understand, it's fine if that's what you're into. You won't like what transpired here. But honestly, if you did not find this entertaining, like people were in hysterics, cheering, like the crowd could not have been more invested in, and I'm going to say it, Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn.
There's one thing getting spoiled with all the talent we saw from the Attitude Era and just thinking, wow, that's unbelievable. But I love Jackass. And I thought, the fact that we're pretty much getting a live Jackass show in that ring, crossing over with WWE, it was the perfect, for me, the perfect execution of what sport entertainment is. Now, of course, we had the athletic level of what sport entertainment is with the Logan Pauls on night one. But this was heavily emphasised with a capital E, entertainment.
Are you trying to say that Wee Man's Body Slam wasn't better than Hogan and Andre?
I think it was better. And I'm kind of a little bit sad that they didn't reference that in commentary. But nevertheless, it was just perfect. Johnny Knoxville, the whole gang, Party Boy even showed up. I got to see Party Boy in the flesh. I was frightened and happy all at the same time. And then Wee Man came out from under the ring doing his bit. The body slam, I mean, there were a lot of great pops throughout the night. But if that wasn't up in your top three, then I don't know what you were there for, because it was entertaining as hell. Johnny Knoxville as well, much respect, took everything that Sami Zayn got. And like that tweet from Kevin Owens about Sami Zayn after the match, Sami's just the best. He is just a perfect guy in that position, in that spot. He gets it. Sure, you want your five-star matches? Well, guess what? Here on TalkSport, we're going to give that a five-star entertainment rating.
It's done. I mean, we've never even done this before, but now Matt is bringing it to the table. And you know what? I concur. Who could argue with that, man? But speaking of matches that people would expect five stars for, and you know, I guess the wrestling purists, Edge and AJ, Joe, talk to me about AJ Styles and Edge, because this is one of those. Maybe I'll liken it to when I was at WrestleMania 34, and you had Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, and everyone's going, oh my God, this is going to be amazing, right? And your expectations are at a certain level. Now, people would have probably thought this would be the best wrestling match of the weekend. How would you say that delivered for you, Joe?
I thought it was good, like not great. And that's not really a criticism, I guess, but like I think heading into the show, it was a match that I sort of almost kept forgetting about, because even though they'd done a good job building it with the Edge heel turn, I think because there was so much other stuff going on, it was slipping under the radar ever so slightly. But again, presentation-wise, like Edge's entrance was great, with the big sort of fire in the throne and stuff like that, and the way they're sort of like really rebranding him now as this like slightly more like, you know, demonic style heel or whatever, and he's like maybe leaning towards like Ministry Undertaker.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but like, so that
in tone.
Yes, the match itself, you know, I thought it was well executed and well wrestled. I felt like they were building to something all the time. Like it was very like a slow, deliberate pace. And I think I was talking to Matt, so I liken it to like the way they would maybe build a New Japan match where you could sense it just like building and building and gaining momentum. And then suddenly, like, it just seems that it didn't just finish, but I felt like we were going to get another 5 or 6 minutes. And then they did the Damian Priest thing, which I loved. I think the Damian Priest reveal and the way they did that with Edge and Damian's presentation was
a great fit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just so perfect. So the match itself I liked, but I don't think it's, again, similar to Charlotte and Ronda, perfectly well wrestled. Just don't think people will come back to it and rewatch it. But I mean, I need to get another set of eyes on it because I've not gone back to rewatch it yet. So maybe I'll have a slightly different opinion. But
I thought it was the textbook Edge match, right? Like kind of prodding start, and it builds the crescendo, and the home straight was very, very enjoyable.
And the crowd got into it,
of course. And the finish is about making what's next for Edge with Priest, which is a union that I like a lot. Is it going to be an all-time classic? Probably not, but still, it was good for what it was. Let's run through a bit of the card before we get to the main event as we come down the home straight here. RK-Bro opened up the night very over. RK-Bro, right? They won the triple threat tag team match with the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. I've got to say, I one thing I prefer about the triple threat tags to the Fatal 4-Ways is that the triple threat is actually a triple threat, right? You have three people in the ring. I enjoyed that. No problem with the result for me. You've got to go with a hot hand. Orton and Riddle, let them continue.
Great
surging.
Finish as well.
Yes, it was. It was great. I mean, oh man, the springboard RKO for Riddle was unbelievable. And then we got the Gable Stevenson moment after as well. I mean, if you're watching this weekend, if you're not aware that WWE wants you to like Gable Stevenson, you will be very quickly. Next up was Bobby Lashley and Omos. Some people were surprised that Lashley got the W here. I'm not against it. I like Bobby Lashley very much. I think he's done great work the past year or so. I guess that it's just, is that what they were building the monster Omos for, right? Was this the big arc of his career? Because where do you go from here once you're a giant and you've lost? I don't know if WWE always do that well. The big show's a good indicator of that, right? A lot of ebbs and flows in that man's career. So I'm very intrigued to see what they do with Omos next. But still, good for Bobby, man. I'm glad that he's positioned as a big star, so hopefully he can springboard into something cool coming out of that. And the women, we need to talk about Sasha Banks breaking the streak, nonetheless. But you know, Boss Glow, I think that's what we're calling them, right? Sasha Banks, Naomi, they got the W over Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler was in there with Natalya, and Queen Zelina and Carmella, of course, were the champions. Quick, you know, all of you are going to get a quick say here. Is it right to have broken Sasha Banks' streak here? Would it have been better in a singles, or was the moment justified? Just a quick couple of words, Alistair.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, the reaction it got from the crowd proved that it was spot on for me.
Yeah, May?
Why not? That's good.
He look, cares deeply about this
personally,
topic.
Personally, I think like my bias was leading on seeing Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan get it. But nevertheless, if it was off the two, I would have been happy with either.
All right, Joe?
Yeah, thought it was good. Both Naomi and Sasha are over. Worked well.
George?
All the way for it, mate.
All right, there you go. Nice and simple.
That's it.
We've literally only got a couple of minutes left for Roman and Lesnar, but I think that's probably all we need, thinking about it. The match itself, there's only been three trilogies at WrestleMania, right? Austin and Rock, that's like the most legendary, I don't think. We're not going to debate and throw hands in this room about that. And then, of course, Triple H and Undertaker, which, you know, the first one was kind of a throwaway, but the last two were legendary. Really, the high point of this trilogy is probably the Seth Rollins cash-in. 34 was booed out of the building. And last night was what I would call good. It was good. But for a weekend that had a lot of high points, I think it's difficult to say it was the highest point the weekend could have ended on. I do think, though, Roman being the victor is right, Matt.
It was totally correct. You look at what we are doing right here, since from what last Mania that Roman did to now, it made sense. A unified champion, he is the only man right now that could have done it. And if it wasn't Brock Lesnar, who would it be to dethrone Roman Reigns? And that makes us all very curious and excited. Now, of course, some people were expecting a bit more of a brutal match, but hey, it's just right, we're curious, and we will tune in Raw and SmackDown to see what happens next.
Well, we're going to be at Raw tonight, that's worth mentioning. TalkSport, you can follow me on Twitter, of course, AlexM_TalkSport, to give you all of the latest goods from what goes down at the Raw after Mania, and, of course, all of the surrounding things of WrestleMania weekend. Alistair, who's going to beat Roman?
Cody Rhodes.
As we get on the home straight here, Joe, what did you make of the main event all in all? Do you think, right decision, I guess, for Roman, and what does Brock do?
Yeah, right decision for Roman. The only thing that I was sort of a little bit gutted about was that there was no sort of comeuppance for Roman and Heyman at any point at any point of the feud. Like, they got the best of Brock at Madison Square Garden, busted him open, and constantly sort of escaped him and evaded him. So I would have liked when Brock was saying, "I'm coming for your blood, I want to get you." I thought we were going to see Roman busted open at some point. And I know we don't get that on WWE television really anymore, but they did it at 34, like Roman
bled big quite, time. Yeah, too. Yeah.
They really went for it. So there has been sort of times when that has happened. So, I mean, that is something I would have liked to have seen, like if Heyman had took an F5 or something like that, just to get that out there. But yeah, a good main event. And I think after the match, they've had quite a lot of matches already. Sort of what was expected. Maybe a few more shenanigans thrown in, but yeah.
Awesome. Guys, thank you very much for joining me on this edition of Talk Wrestling for WrestleMania weekend. Let's get some Twitter handles, man, because there's a lot of different content that you guys have been putting out that I've been enjoying that I think everyone else should be able to enjoy. So, Alistair, where can the people find you?
Yeah, Alistair McChee on Twitter, everything on metro.co.uk.
If you can make that up, guys, I suggest you go follow. Matty?
For some light-hearted wrestling takes, at Matthew Connell.
Some sultry wrestling takes. Joe, what about you, man?
Yeah, well, some not quite as sultry wrestling takes, and lots of talk about Guinness and chips. You can follow me at Joe Baia, J-O-E-B-A-I-A.
Yeah, he's done this before. He knows he has to give you the spelling. George, what about you, man?
Just all around good vibes. George Clayton, 97. And 97, so I'm a bit young, so people will probably be not following me now.
No, they should. We're the dinosaurs. Guys, thank you very much for joining me on this special edition of Talk Wrestling in Dallas as we look out over the city, getting ready for Raw after WrestleMania. Remember, guys, Talk Wrestling podcast will be dropping several episodes in the next couple of weeks where you can get all of the interviews that I've done out here in Dallas. Becky Lynch, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Man, the list goes on from that day at the press junket. And of course, you've listened to Talk Wrestling here with Cody Rhodes. Again, the full interview will be available on the podcast. So thanks for listening. I'm Alex McCarthy. This has been Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.